little pigeon. And what's worth noting is that the tactile CD are just simple, or the lateral row, I should say, is a simple tactile ceta or CD, whereas in megalopidids, you have clumps of spines and hairs in that position, as well as other clumps of hairs in lower positions, including the proleg bases. Okay, here's looking at the membranous pads during locomotion, as well as the tactile ceti. And this is a later instar, so the locomotion is becoming less fluid. Again, the figure eight spinning of the or laying down of the silk, and a typical spinneret in this species. However, another species of aided that I wrote about in the 90s builds a cocoon that has the false parasitoid exit holes. That has a little extra little apparatus on the end of the spinneret, which I suspect is used for its special construction. This species actually builds an underground cocoon, so a very different biology. It's amazing a group of only six species has such differences. Okay, now moving on to the limacodids and delcerids. Limacodids are very diverse in their dorsal defenses, having, you know, saddlebacks and spines, and then going all the way to having, you know, very cryptic leaf sorts of forms. Whereas delcerids tend to be covered with these slimy sort of gelatinous coverings, which you can brush off, or if ants try to get them, they get all slimed up and either die or get incapacitated. Here's a list of shared derived characters of the larvae, including this extremely elastic ventral cuticle, the prolegs being modified into sucker discs, crochets being reduced or lost, and the spinneret is brush-like. Looking up close, we can see through the translucent ventrum, and we see the fat bodies, and some you can see the nerve cords. This one's about to molt, so they get a little more cloudy at that point. Also notice that the anal segment doesn't contact the substrate during locomotion. One of the things that's very hard to see are the thoracic legs, because they're highly reduced in size. And if you look at the ways of the locomotion, they actually continue up into the thorax. Also, they're capable of forward and reverse movement. The ripple can go either direction. Here we can see the sucker discs more closely in this Montaleuca. Okay, now looking at the delcerid on a flat surface. Oh, come on. Oh, see, I back up on that one. Okay, this delcerid still has crochets, but they have no influence on the locomotion. They're just as you'll see in a minute, they're just a small semicircle of them. Essentially the same locomotion. Okay, another thing that these both limacodids and delcerids are capable of doing is gripping in such a way and being able to spin around. You're also noticing a certain amount of preening and with their mouths, which we'll talk about in a second. Here we see the use of the spinneret as a cleaning brush. So they go back and forth to maintain the stickiness. And here again is the brush-like spinneret in Delcerity. Okay, one of the mysteries that I've talked about in the past and written about is that when you look at the ventral surface of these larvae, you notice sort of a surface film, and some of that appears to come from the kind of untanned silk that's being laid down as ribbons, but I also suspect that there's some cuticular oils, or and certainly there are other sources of this moisture just picked up in nature, but also perhaps from little droplets, as we'll see now. This has just been deposited by the anal end there, but as it's laid down, it actually gets right back onto the venter and gets pulled up. And you tend to see these droplets in the lima-coated larvae shortly before they spin their cocoons. But I would imagine they occur at other times as well. So this may be another source of that surface film. Talked a little bit about silk ribbons. One of the interesting things is that you can see, this is actually a way that you can find lima-coated larvae, is by seeing either little shiny patches of silk, because they're laid down not as or your typical strands of silk, but very flatly pressed into the leaf surface. And what this enables the larvae to do is actually sit on these little silk pads and molt, because you got to remember these have lost their usual prolegs and crochets that hook into the silk, so it provides them for a nice little surface to be able to molt on. Delcerids, I need to do more research on this, but I suspect that the silk that they leave on leaves are more typical silk strands, and possible that that's one reason why they've retained crochets, is to stay hooked onto that silk. Okay, now on, as I was speaking of crochets, Delcerids, as I mentioned, have reduced crochets, but perhaps what's most interesting is the fact that they're not present in the first few instars. They're actually added on later, and as is the case for primitive limacodids. And further interesting is that, at least in one species, Stair found that the second and seventh segments add the crochets even later than the others. In Limacodidae, I found crochets on two primitive genera from Africa, and just like the Delcerids, not found in the first few instars, yet they're absent in all the other limacodids known. I think that this loss of crochets in limacodidae probably occurred by the sort of a deletion of the final instars, or the expression of crochets sort of gets deleted off. In other words, they never express themselves in later stages like they do in Delcerids. So in a sense, you could call it a terminal deletion, or there's other developmental terms for that. In this Crothema, they add the crochets, but interestingly enough, we don't get that second and seventh pair. So there's a certain amount of variation throughout this group, actually, of the expression of crochets. Limacodids, as I said, don't express them till later in stars in the primitive, as do Delcerids. Aedids never, the three species of aedids that have been reared don't ever express them on the second and seventh yet, have prolegs. Megalopygids are variable, as well as Delcerids, so there's a possibility of a lot of switching on and switching off of crochets in this group. So to summarize the evolution of the locomotion in Limacodidae, along with it, you're seeing an increased contact with the substrate. You have the addition of the prolegs on the second and seventh segments, prolegs modified to suckers, suckers forming on gap regions like the first abdominal segment develop suckers, which are clearly not homologous to prolegs. Crochets are reduced in size or loss. The lateral and subventral CD are simple tactile CD, or they go to that from being verruci. So they, in megalopidids, they're clumps of hairs and spines, and they go to simple, what I call curb tickler CD, because they're close to the locomotion surface. There's a overall size reduction in thoracic legs. And then the spinneret becomes more of a spinneret brush. Here's a summary of how the, I believe, the modification of the proleg segments occurred. Basically, the proleg bases becoming sucker discs. So I guess one question is, will the new morphological information that we get and will the data from the Tree of Life project overturn these results, find, say, Aedidae to be sister to, or to be in the same group with Megalopygidae? Stay tuned. Oops.
Ah.
Let me go back here. Thank you. Actually, I don't think there's much connection there. I think one thing about limacodids in general that's different is they're a little tougher on the dorsal surface, whereas delcerids seem very vulnerable, you know, very soft-bodied throughout. So I think it has more to do with their dorsal defenses than their ventral surfaces. Uh-huh. Cool.